This podcast is brought to you by JBL. Employing the best methods and tools, audio technology is at the core of everything JBL creates. Never straying from a ground-up approach to everything they build, JBL has produced a prolific list of audio achievements, groundbreaking technologies, and revolutionary advances in the art and science of professional audio. JBL, passion for sound and those who create it. Learn more at jbl.com.
Hello and welcome to Tape Ops Discussion, where we call our friends and music community notables to chat about their favorite records. Enjoy.
Hey, welcome to Discussion. I'm Jeff Stanfield, and for this episode, we speak with producer, engineer, and bass player Mikey Colton. Mikey's worked with such artists as Mdou Mokhtar, Steve Gunn, Noramin Somali, and his own Lay Rhinoceros. Today we chat about Tumani Diabate Symmetric Orchestra's 2006 release, Boulevard de Independence. Enjoy. So tell me about this record, Boulevard de Independence by Tumani Diabate. Such a great record and really fun to listen to, and one that I actually had not listened to before you sent it my way. So,
yeah, it's an interesting record. Like when I was picking records, there was a couple thoughts of I'm really into sonically interesting stuff. I'm really into noise music and experimental music, and it's I could go that route. But then I just kind of kept going back to this record because it was kind of a big record for me getting into West African music. Like the time that it came out and the time that I heard it, I had started playing with a Malian griot, which was my introduction to West African music. And so I was digging in super deep, and this griot named Sheikh Kamala Diabate is Tumani's cousin. So he turned me on to Tumani, and I checked out this record and it kind of blew my mind. Also because a lot of these songs are traditional, and so we played these songs, and so hearing a different arrangement of them was a really beautiful thing. And the other thing that was super interesting about it was, being really into dirty recordings and gritty stuff, this is a super clean recording, but it doesn't bother me. It feels like the everything's just recorded how it sounds. It doesn't feel stylized. It just feels like it is what it is, and I thought that was super interesting.
Yeah, I mean, what do you know about how this record was made? Do you know anything about the origins of it? Or
so when I went to Mali in 2011, I went to Tumani's studio where I think some of it was recorded, and it was really interesting to watch his engineer record, where basically he was recording everything super hot, everything was clipping, but then he would just normalize it down, and it wasn't sounding blown out, but it was just kind of I think that same kind of school that I come from of just make it work, throw up mics and these guys need to play and they sound great, we'll fix it later. And I thought that was really interesting. I know that it was probably recorded in other studios, I think in the UK and in London, I think as well. And Pee Wee Ellis did the arrangement, the horn arrangements on it. So I'm not sure if he went to Mali or if they did that elsewhere, but, that's something that really stands out too, is his horn arrangements on this record.
Was his studio, when you visited it, is the gear in there modern, or were they using, more vintage recording equipment?
It was modern, but everything felt 10 years behind. It was they were using, I think I remember seeing a Digi 2 rack as their A to D, and 57s and DI-ing everything. That was kind of the vibe there, and it was in Tumani's house and his just like a room in his house that they just set up as a studio.
The way you're describing it sounds like it would be a pretty messed up sounding record, but it's not at all. It's like, it's actually, like you said, it's very sort of clean and everything has its space and dimension. And the first thing that caught my ear is of the first song's called Tumani, and it's like full name drop the whole track. Yeah. And I just thought there's like a fair amount of humor in that, in a way.
It's a bold choice to throw that out, and you know, the first lyric to be like praising Tumani.
It's bold, but it also really set the tone for the record for me. You know, I was like, oh, this is fun. Tumani manale, Tumani manale, Tumani manale, kinyon ke jamani no. I don't know if it's tongue in cheek. I don't know what the intent was there, or it's just like, yo, Tumani is it, you know? Or yeah. I don't know what it was, but it doesn't matter. It still has this like element of fun and levity to it to set the tone for this record. And the playing is burning on it, right? It's just like the mastery of the instruments is insane.
It's incredible. First of all, I feel like what you just mentioned, like the record feels like a Sly and the Family Stone record. It feels like a party. And everyone is so good at finding the space to play. Like the arrangements are incredible. And, you know, there's a lot going on. There's so many instruments, but it doesn't feel overwhelming. It feels like everyone knows. It feels intentional. And when I was in Mali on that 2011 trip, I got to sit in with that band, and they are so tight. It's like, you know, there were like 50 people there playing, and you know, 10 sabar drummers, and those things are so loud, and drummers, bass players, like 3 guitarists, traditional instruments. It was really cool to see this record being played how I heard it. Like, it sounded the same. And I think that's what's so striking about it. It just sounds like it is recorded with these guys, with everybody in a room, and just having a good time.
It's obviously a live band. Like, that's what they do. People dance and party, and they play.
For sure, 100%. Yeah, yeah. That's totally it.
I know it's not necessarily sonically the same, but there's something about it that reminded me of like the magnitude and like the how much there was happening. It reminded me of like Sun Ra or something, in a way.
You kind of get in this trance in a different way than like maybe like the music of Sun Ra, but it is very, I feel like it's very cosmic and related.
The, you know, genre wise, that music is so like based on cycles and cyclical grooves and like polyrhythmic meters and things happening. It's just, it's really wild. We don't get to hear like Kora that often. And so it is sort of otherworldly in a way, if you've just been listening to a ton of Western music. The spirit of it is ultra communal to me.
Yes. Yeah. I think that, I mean, yeah, they captured that really well. They did a good job, whether it was actually like all of those people in a room together or, you know, overdubbing it. I don't think Pee Wee Ellis came to Mali to do that, but the way it was mixed and arranged really does feel like everybody is together. And that's a hard thing to do.
Yeah, see, I imagined it. I love the visual of that you put forth of them all in this house, because that's not how I imagined it when I heard it. I kind of imagined them all in this like massive studio together, you know, all kind of We Are the World or something, you know, with lots of lots of gobos and baffles, all in the same room playing music, of course. But like, yeah, it just didn't have that sense to me of like all packed in. I love the idea of them like all in a house, you know, getting it done. having fun, getting sweaty.
And there's like a, it's usually like in West African culture, it's usually like the youngest brings around like a tray of tea for everybody. So like it's the most caffeinated, a lot of sugar tea that like, you know, you stay up all night if you drink one of those. But he's coming around like every like 10 minutes pouring tea for everyone.
So everyone's just jacked.
Everyone's jacked. It's a good vibe.
Personal favorites or standout tracks on this?
Taffa and Young is a cool one. I think hearing that's like Nyung is very much like a Senegalese like family name, and you hear like the Senegalese sabar drums and that and those rhythms, and that was kind of the first time I heard like traditional Senegalese instruments like those sabar drums and stuff, and I got super obsessed with those rhythms and ended up studying bass with a Senegalese bass player who taught me a lot of that sabar stuff, where, you know, the what's interesting about that music, which is very similar to Brazilian music, is like the beat, the strong beat is not one, it's like the and of one or the or two or something, and that was so fascinating to hear on this record. You know, also I think Tumani's a lot of these songs are traditional, and they come from a lot of there's a history with this music and the Malian Empire, and I think he's trying to capture that of like, where does this music come from, and here's my arrangement of it.
Others,
Mali Sajo is cool to hear. That song was one of the songs, and is one of the songs that I play with a lot of Mali. It's like a traditional song, like everyone knows it, and I had never heard it done that way, especially again with the sabar drums. But you know, super powerful. It sounds like 50 drummers, everybody in sync, and that's one that stands out.
Namal Sajo
Yeah, I mean, they're all super interesting, and I feel like I just like it as like a record, which is hard to.
Yeah.
I think a lot of, or like my understanding of the way people listen to music in West Africa is like sent via WhatsApp, phones, and so you're not listening to a record, you're listening to songs. And so I think Toumani did a really good job capturing this as like a record, as like a piece of music, like the whole, all the songs together.
Yeah, I agree. And I think that like it is one, you know, it's something that you that I would like to have on vinyl, so that you just literally have you are listening in a continuous manner without messing and pushing forward or backwards or anything. You just kind of steeping yourself in the vibe. You just mentioned something that I had another conversation with somebody I was talking to about, you know, people trading like the SIM chips on their phones for music, and that sort of, you know, via WhatsApp. And like, it's so fascinating that like people's desire, I think it speaks to people's desire and love of music. Like, people are always going to find a way to like listen to and spread cool music. And like, it doesn't really, you know, we live in such a like crazy technical time where like files are so easy to share, and you know, music is just available at like at your fingertips for anything you really want to listen to, essentially. But you know, then you hear a story like that, and it's like you were saying, everything is like it's behind the times technologically, but the passion and the love for music and sharing it and that community aspect of something, I feel like we still get that. It's changed so much, but like that really is like it's like making a mixtape for your friend, and
yeah,
you know, giving them a cassette. It's like now it's maybe, you know, in Africa it's a SIM chip, you know, or it's like, you know, that's crazy. It's so cool.
It's wild. I mean, being over there, it's so interesting to see, like, you know, like sending an Mdou song to somebody in Niger, it within an hour it reaches all its way to Algeria and Morocco and different parts of the world. And there's videos online of people, kids covering these songs that, you know, these songs that are not even released. Just like, it's so beautiful to see how far this goes. And like you're saying, it's just like, it's this like passion for music. It's kind of like, you know, like the days of the blogs and having a blog that you really trust, and anything that they share you want to download because it's you trust this blog. And it feels the same over there, where it's just like everyone's so hungry for music and wants to do something new and try different things and share. It's a beautiful thing for sure.
Yeah, I mean, it really speaks to that idea. I think it was like, well, I mean, it's been said forever, but Jerry Garcia said something to the effect of like, well, once I make the music, it's no longer mine. I don't have any control. It's like, and I, you know, we spend a lot of time like copyright and protecting this and don't share this and don't share this. But like, ultimately, I think music is the spirit of it is meant to be shared. And like, yeah, you know, if people are excited about sharing a song, even if it's free and even if it like, you know, tends to, you know, scrape somebody's income, which is now just a complete joke, you know, making, you know, money off, yeah, any sort of download or anything. It's just like, I really have come to embrace the idea of like, hey, I made it, and like, I hope people dig it, man. And what a problem to have, like, if people are like sharing your music all over the world and via SIM chip or like bootlegging it or whatever. It means that like it meant something to them. So, you know, I really like that idea, and I think that the spirit of that still lives even more you know, it's real strongly and obviously in the cultures where they don't necessarily have access to Spotify or Dropbox or whatever, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's also this, like, you make things work and you kind of do things your way, but it's, you know, you might not have the same resources. Like in Tumani's studio with, you know, I mean, it was 2011, so there wasn't the same, we didn't have the same stuff that we do now, but the gear that they had was definitely like 5 or 10 years older than what we were used to, but they made it work. And, you know, that's a really inspiring thing of like, you know, I see people in Niger all the time with these Gibson knockoff brands called Gibson with a P. And it's like, it doesn't matter the guitar you play. They just shred. These guys know how to play on anything. These guys know. And this record feels like that. It feels like it's just a bunch of dudes in a room having a good time with what they got. And it's captured so well.
Totally. And I think that the wonky instrument thing is so fascinating because like it lends itself to the tone, the sound of the music. I mean, the intonation's jacked up. You know, the action on some of these guitars is super wonky, and like, you know, those tones are so unique because we're all, you know, focused on trying to get the perfect sound and the perfect tone and the perfect intonation. And then like, there's so much magic and character being portrayed with, it just becomes the voice is flawed and humans are flawed. So it's like, that's what makes it so cool. You know, totally. I think it's overlooked so much in Western music, like this over perfected tweezed tuned everything. It's like the character has been like wrung out of it and the humanity has been wrung out of it, and so much of that is like present on these recordings that we're getting from other places in the world, made on compromised instruments, compromised recording formats, etc. It's like it's a real treasure trove of like, you know, inspiration and you know, joy, really. I find so much happiness when I listen to those records.
It's interesting, this World Circuit label, I'm very conscious of, you know, I hate the term world music. It's like, I despise it with a passion. I think it's only a negative term. And it's such a, you know, I put a lot of thought into like, what record am I going to talk about? And this record is in that, you know, that world music world, but it doesn't have that, I don't know, that like stupid fucking clean production. It's so clean, but it's not, it doesn't bother me for some reason. And I don't really know what it is, but I mean, maybe it was the time that I heard it too. Just like it.
Yeah, I think, you know, to that point though, I mean, it's like, a lot of people, I think like it becomes a little more accessible to more people if it's presented in a way that maybe a little cleaner, a little more listenable. Like, so in that way, you end up reaching more people and inspiring more people. You know, if it has a little bit more of an in sonically for people to get their heads around, you know, there's a lot of people can't get their heads around old, like, Alan Lomax field recordings. They're like, oh, it sounds shitty. It's like, yeah, you're not really, you kind of missed the point. But like, it's a real thing. You know, people like things to sound good. You know, our brains like that. It's neither here nor there, except for that, I guess, the fact that you mentioned that it's a clean record that still feels good, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
It's not devoid of soul or vibe, for sure.
No. Yeah, and I think just like, you know, when you have great players, great arrangement, great songs, it kind of, you know, it speaks more than the recording.
Yeah, for sure. Awesome, man. Well, thanks for your time and be in touch. Reach out if you need anything.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, Mike.
All right. See ya.
Thanks for listening. Discussion is created by TapeOp, the creative music recording magazine. Free subscriptions are available at tapeop.com, along with our regular podcast and online content.